Welcome to Audio Notes. I'm David Finkel, Artistic Director of Music at Menlo, and it is my great pleasure to welcome you to the festival's 2018 season, Creative Capitals. Time and again, from 14th century Florence to fin de siècle Paris and New York during the Harlem Renaissance, Western civilization's greatest artistic triumphs have emerged from the fertile ground of thriving metropolises. Fueled by the exchange of ideas and the incubation of great art, leading artists and innovators have gathered, turning these cities into cultural epicenters. Music at Menlo's 2018 season celebrates seven of Western music's most flourishing cultural centers: London, Paris, St. Petersburg, Leipzig, Berlin, Budapest, and Vienna, cities whose spirit many of history's greatest composers have helped to define through their music. Audio Notes are designed to enhance your enjoyment and deepen your appreciation of the music you'll be hearing at the festival. I'll be joined by Artistic Co-Director Wu Han and Audio Notes author and producer Patrick Castillo to offer historical and cultural context and a variety of perspectives on this summer's concert programs. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you at the concerts.
Western composers, from Haydn and Mozart to Brahms, were irresistibly drawn to the folk music of Central Europe, infusing some of their most popular works with its infectious spirit. With Hungarian music's all-nationalist movement in the early 20th century, Hungary, and especially its capital, Budapest, assumed even greater importance in the Western classical tradition. Ernő von Dohnányi was the first elite Hungarian artist who chose to train at the Budapest Academy of Music rather than studying abroad. His countrymen Béla Bartók and Zoltán Kodály, the founders of a nationalist Hungarian compositional language, followed suit, establishing Budapest as the epicenter of Hungary's musical culture. Concert Program 6 features the work of these three giants of Hungarian music, as well as the modernist master Ligeti.
Though perhaps less celebrated than Béla Bartók, the Hungarian composer, educator, and ethnomusicologist Zoltán Kodály certainly deserves mention in the same breath as his colleague and compatriot. Raised in the Hungarian countryside, where he was exposed both to the classical repertoire and to folk songs, Kodály held these complementary musical interests in common with Bartók, whom he befriended while both were in their early 20s. Nationalist impulses, too, prompted their travels through the Central European countryside, collecting folk music, whose character would become essential to their respective compositional languages. Kodály recalled years later of his collaboration with Bartók, quote, "The vision of an educated Hungary reborn from the people rose before us. We decided to devote our lives to its realization." End quote. So, through their efforts, did Bartók and Kodály cultivate a distinct Hungarian musical identity, deeply rooted in folk sources. Bartók later extolled his colleague, quote, "If I were to name the composer whose works are the most perfect embodiment of the Hungarian spirit, I would answer Kodály. His work proves his faith in the Hungarian spirit." The obvious explanation is that all Kodály's composing activity is rooted only in Hungarian soil. But the deep inner reason is his unshakable faith and trust in the constructive power and future of his people. End quote. Kodály's duo for violin and cello, Opus 7, has endured as one of the finest essays in the relatively meager repertoire for violin and cello. Indeed, the medium seems barely sufficient to contain the work's muscular content, as though Kodály were dressing a giant in tight-fitting clothes. Though a relatively early work in Kodály's broad oeuvre, the duo nevertheless illustrates the essence of the composer's mature musical language.
Primacy of melody is on display throughout the work. The cello begins the first movement with a proud, folk-like theme, proclaimed forte risoluto. The violin comments with equally assertive double and triple stopped chords. A lyrical second theme appears, piano tranquillo, and paced by steady pizzicati. Equal to its melodic wealth, the duo demonstrates Kodai's characteristic ear for formal balance and textural proportion. His use of double stops, polyrhythms, and other devices serves to maximize the duo's sonic breadth, at times creating the illusion of larger instrumental forces. The work, moreover, makes fearless use of the full range of both instruments, from their resonant low registers to their piercing high range. The work finally exhibits egalitarian writing, perhaps at times even a competitive one-upmanship between the two voices, as at the first movement's climax. Despite its piquantly chromatic harmonic palette, the gentle adagio proffers an unassuming folk-like simplicity. Even in moments of agitation, high-pitched cries in the violin above rumbling tremolandi in the cello, here is music given over more to wistfulness than to fury or despair. A thoughtful violin monody, vaguely redolent of the duo's opening movement, begins the finale's maestoso introduction. The ensuing dialogue between violin and cello soon gives way to the movement's main presto section, a lively peasant dance in which the folk element of Kodai's language comes to the fore. Thank you.
In his 1931 essay, The Influence of Peasant Music on Modern Music, Béla Bartók arrived at a prescription for the use of folk melodies in contemporary composition. Rather than transcribe peasant tunes or invent original, inauthentic ones, Bartók wrote, quote, "There is yet a third way in which the influence of peasant music can be traced in a composer's work. Neither peasant melodies nor imitations of peasant melodies can be found in his music, but it is pervaded by the atmosphere of peasant music. In this case, we may say, he has completely absorbed the idiom of peasant music, which has become his musical mother tongue. He masters it as completely as a poet masters his mother tongue." End quote. This absorption of his musical mother tongue into a highly developed compositional technique is in evidence in Bartók's String Quartet No. 5, the fifth of the composer's six quartets, which, alongside those of Haydn, Beethoven, and Shostakovich, constitute one of the repertoire's most influential quartet cycles. Throughout these works, Bartók utterly reimagines the sonic possibilities of this most essential chamber music genre. In addition to expressing Bartók's cultural identity with such subtlety and sophistication, the fifth quartet, like its five siblings, is sheer revelatory for its palette of timbres and inventive instrumental techniques.
The quartet comprises five movements arranged in a symmetrical arch form. The outer movements are fast and have thematic material in common. The second and fourth movements both exemplify Bartók's night music style, described by Bartók scholar David Schneider as characterized by, quote, "eerie dissonances providing a backdrop to sounds of nature and lonely melodies," end quote. At the quartet's center is the piquant scherzo. The allegro first movement opens with a striking gesture, a forte salvo of repeated B flats, leaning in the first measure into neighboring C, that unleashes a rollicking melody, barreling forward with total abandon. In contrast to these insistent repeated notes, the aggressive second theme features wide upward leaps of ninths and tenths in all four instruments. Following a brief recollection of the first theme, the second violin introduces a new musical idea. Legato triplets, piano dolce, rising and falling as if inebriated, underpinned by soft pizzicati. In the recapitulation, foreshadowing the quartet's overall mirror image structure, the three themes appear in reverse order, with the legato triplets falling, then rising. And the second theme, leaping downwards. Quiet trills and disconsolate gestures begin the Adagio Molto second movement. Thank you. These settle into a hymn-like series of pianissimo triadic chords in the lower strings, above which the first violin utters keening melodic fragments. This poignant music quickly dissolves into a more enigmatic section, marked by anxious tremolandi and impassive pizzicati. The scherzo movement, marked alla bulgarese, evokes a Bulgarian folk dance in its rhythmic asymmetry, dividing each measure into 4+2+3. Despite its irregular gait, the melodic lines flow easily atop the cello's pizzicati, suddenly erupting into a lively hoedown. The swirl of eighth notes continues into the trio section, but pianissimo and with mutes as accompaniment to a rustic tune shared between the viola and cello. The Bulgarian dance returns with gusto. The andante fourth movement returns to the second movement's night music character, but takes a more lighthearted tack. Glissando pizzicati, featherweight 32nd note figures, and other playful touches give the music a blithe air. Tremolando chords faintly echo the hymn-like chorale of the second movement. before the music escalates to an agitated climax. As this turbulence subsides, violins more clearly recall those earlier chords. The movement ends with a colorful masterstroke. Beneath a glassy harmonic in the first violin, lower strings tap a quiet chord col legno, or with the wood of the bow, answered by glissando pizzicato chords in the cello. The finale transfigures the first movement's thematic material nearly beyond recognizability. After a cursory preamble of slashing triplets and expectant silences, the repeated notes that began the quartet reappear, launching the movement into a barn-burning presto. The opening movement's legato rising and falling theme here retains that relentless energy. The wide intervallic leaps likewise reappear as the dance continues to spiral into a frenzy. Following a fortissimo climax, Bartok inserts a strange tune, con indifferenza, like a bizarre nursery song. From here, the quartet charges inexorably to its resounding conclusion. Thank you.
Unquestionably one of the most singular compositional voices of the 20th century, George Ligeti was, at the end of his life, widely regarded as Western music's greatest living composer. His music reflects his assimilation of a wide spectrum of cultural elements. Artistically descendant from Bartók, one of the few prominent 20th century masters whose music he had exposure to in his youth, Ligeti later encountered the avant-garde community emergent at Darmstadt. In the early 1980s, he extended his sonic palette further, immersing himself in non-European musical cultures. His interest in Caribbean, African, and East Asian music complemented the influence of his own Hungarian heritage. Ultimately, regardless of his aesthetic sources, Ligeti was always guided by his personal sound ideal. Given to sonic exploration and adventure, his music reveals a free-spirited imagination and infinite curiosity.
Ligeti's ballade and dance for two violins, composed in 1950, are adaptations of Romanian folk music. They likewise nod to the composer's heritage, as the medium of two violins evokes Bartók's seminal volume of 44 duos for two violins. The idyllic ballade is a study in simplicity rife with rustic charm. The infectious dance, marked forte energico, follows.
Excepting perhaps Franz Liszt, Erno Dohnányi must be regarded as the most versatile musician to come from Hungary. He was, in addition to being a great composer, one of history's greatest pianists. He achieved particular notoriety for performing Beethoven's complete piano music in one season and undertaking all 27 of Mozart's piano concerti in another. Dohnányi was moreover a supremely gifted conductor and an influential teacher and administrator as well, playing a crucial role in building Hungary's musical culture in the first half of the 20th century. Dohnányi received his formal training at the Budapest Academy of Music, where he would later briefly serve as director. At the time of his enrollment, he was the first Hungarian musician of his level to choose to study at the Budapest Academy. His childhood friend Béla Bartók followed suit, beginning a lifelong trope of Dohnányi leading the way forward for Hungarian musical culture by his example. Some years later, starting in 1915, Dohnányi took it upon himself to raise Hungary's collective musical sophistication. He independently presented hundreds of concerts, selecting programs that aspired to a higher artistic standard than Hungarian audiences were accustomed to. And between 1919 and 1921, when guest artists were unavailable, Dohnányi himself performed some 120 concerts a year in Budapest alone. Bartók credited Dohnányi with providing his country's entire musical life during these years. But unlike Bartók and Kodály, Dohnányi didn't mine Hungarian folk music for his compositional vocabulary, which has likely complicated his place in history somewhat, in that he was the chief architect of Hungary's musical landscape, but has inevitably been overshadowed in this respect by those composers who more literally gave Hungary its musical voice. Dohnányi's music instead celebrates the romantic legacy of Johannes Brahms and Robert Schumann.
Dohnányi's Opus 37 Sextet in C major for piano, clarinet, horn, and string trio betrays the influence of German Romanticism on the composer's aesthetic. Yet, while audibly indebted to Brahms and others, Dohnányi's language remains distinctly his own. over a suspenseful harmony in the piano and fraught arpeggios in the cello, the horn issues the impassioned first theme of the opening movement. Clarinet, violin, and viola take up the melody in turn, quickly establishing the sextet's broad palette of instrumental colors. A similar anxiety permeates the second theme, introduced by the viola, followed by clarinet and violin above a restless piano accompaniment. The tension releases briefly as violin, then clarinet, present a charming dotted rhythm tune. In lieu of a conventional repeat of the exposition, Dohnányi presents an alternate version of it. Each theme appears again, in the same order, but cast in different timbres. The first theme is presented by the violin, followed by horn, clarinet, and cello. Horn, viola, and clarinet reprise the second theme. The dotted rhythm tune returns, with the clarinet preceding the violin. Having already thus reimagined the essence of the movement's principal materials, Dohnányi proceeds to probe them further in the tempestuous development section. Dohnányi follows the Allegro Appassionato's stormy energy with a dreamy intermezzo. Lush string chords, dusted with delicate piano flourishes, create a pastel haze. Thank you. the piano abruptly interrupts the reverie with a militant march, above which clarinet and horn, in unison, intone a stark melody. The full ensemble comes together as this warlike music escalates to fever pitch. Just as quickly, the march passes, and the intermezzo returns to its previous tranquility. The clarinet begins the third movement, marked Allegro con sentimento, with a guileless, folk-like tune. A series of variations on this theme follows. First, an animated piano variation, powered forward by repeated notes in the cello. Then a risoluto variation involving the full ensemble. The cello surges with soaring lyricism to launch the following variation, marked più animato appassionato. The tempo slows for the honey-voiced fifth variation, weaving together suave legato melodies in all voices. As the music slows to Andante Tranquillo, Dohnányi displays a sleight of compositional invention redolent of Brahms. The tune morphs into the first movement's opening theme, revealing that material to be a prefiguration of these variations. From this remembrance of the sextet's beginning, the music proceeds attacca into the finale marked Allegro Vivace Giocoso. The piano presents the cartoonish theme, thereafter taken up by the rest of the ensemble with almost inane glee. In similarly impish fashion, the movement's subsidiary theme resembles a waltz, but for its rhythmic hijinks, placing the triple meter dance in duple time. A final recollection of the sextet's opening theme, now radiant and triumphant, precedes the work's boisterous conclusion.
Audio notes are authored and produced by Patrick Castillo and narrated by David Finkel, Patrick Castillo, and Wu Han. Additional mastering is provided by Dahong Situ. Musical excerpts appear courtesy of the following artists and organizations. Zoltan Kodai's duo for violin and cello, Opus 7, is performed by Dahong Situ and David Finkel. Bela Bartok's String Quartet No. 5 is performed by the Emerson String Quartet and appears courtesy of Deutsche Grammophon. George Ligeti's Ballade and Dance is performed by Andras Keller and Janos Pilz and appears courtesy of ECM Records. Erno von Dohnányi's Sextet in C Major, Opus 37, is performed by the Amici Chamber Ensemble and appears courtesy of Summit Records. Audio notes are a copyrighted production of Artist Led. ¶¶